Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Rick Fisher, one of the country's preeminent authorities on China, specifically its military capabilities and the possible use thereof. He is today a senior fellow responsible for the Asian Military Affairs Portfolio at the International Assessment and Strategy Center. He is also the president of Pacific Strategies, Inc., and the author most recently of China's Military Modernization, Building for Regional and Global Reach. Rick Fisher, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Frank, thanks for having me back.
President Xi has got a visit to Washington on his agenda in the coming days. There is much consternation about that visit, but more to the point, what's going on in China that is complicating relations with the United States at the moment? The president felt moved, perhaps in the wake of some very strong comments from a number of the Republican presidential candidates, to muster out and, issue some fairly stark warnings to China about its cyber warfare against our country and the kinds of retaliation that may be in the offing. What did you make of the president's remarks, Rick?
Far too little, far too late. The administration has probably spent the last 6 to 7 years trying every conceivable way to try to talk to the Chinese about their cyber war, which is not just against the United States, but against the whole world. China is actively trying to basically reshape and then conquer the Internet. If you think that the United States controls the Internet today, and to whatever degree that is or is not possible, well beyond that is China's goal. And it is frightening. So to, on the eve of a visit, to finally state that they will try to respond in kind is just not credible. Are they going to launch a cyber war against China on the scale of what's being waged against us? I don't know that they can.
Or will have the stomach for it in any event, Rick Fisher. You know, as you were talking, Rick, I was reminded of a rather remarkable statement, particularly seen in the present light, of Bill Clinton back when he was president of the United States and wanted to sort of bat away this notion that the Chinese might actually try to control the Internet just internally, let alone exercise dominion over it internationally. And he said something like, good luck. And it seems like they're advancing that program.
Frank, Bill Clinton predicted that the Internet would take down the Chinese Communist Party. He said so publicly. And what is happening today is that China is using the Internet to extend its dominion over the world.
This is something that I'm afraid, Rick, and I think you probably are as well, will only be exacerbated if the administration continues down the road of essentially relinquishing such control as we continue to have over the sort of mechanisms of the Internet, just a strategically benighted idea of the first order. Let me turn to another area of specialization for you, Rick. You are one of the gurus for most of us about what the Chinese are doing with their military. They sort of strutted their stuff recently with a parade in Beijing, ostensibly to celebrate the 70th anniversary of the defeat, in which they didn't participate, by the way, of Japan. But talk a bit about what you saw at that parade. Were there any surprises, or was really the biggest surprise just how open the Chinese were in brandishing their aggressive offensive capabilities?
Well, Frank, first and foremost, the parade is an exercise in reintroducing the concept of the kowtow, basically to try and reteach the world to come to Beijing every 10 years and bow on knee and pay homage to the Chinese Communist Party. The greatest victory in that quest by China was getting South Korea's president to attend. and her behavior was just appalling.
In the sense that she did kowtow, in effect, to the Chinese mastery?
Absolutely. It was a fantastic gift of political obeisance to the Chinese. And the Chinese, basically, if you don't come and kowtow, well, then, you know, the next bunch of weapons on display will be aimed at you.
Quite explicitly, as I understand it, lettering in English on the side of some of them, threatening carriers and Guam, is that right?
The big revelation was the Dongfeng 26, the DF-26, which has been in testing apparently since 2010, has just entered service within the last 1 to 2 years, and is an intermediate-range ballistic missile. It for your audience, these are important because you can use them against theater targets like Guam or the Philippines or, as we now know, actually against ships, because this will be equipped with an anti-ship warhead. And you can, if you use these missiles, that means you don't have to waste your ICBMs, and you can keep them to coerce or deter the United States from that level of conflict. But the DF-26 is really a second-generation anti-access weapon, and China is working on several second-generation anti-access weapons. The problem, though, is that the United States has barely started to respond to the first generation of Chinese anti-access weapons. So, you know, we're really being put on the back foot here.
Speaking of anti-access, of course, in addition to the weaponry, Rick Fisher, which nobody monitors with greater effect than you, is, of course, the island building that the Chinese are doing now in various parts of the South China Sea, replete with airfields in some cases, ports, and other, well, means of projecting power. There are reports that among the things that the Chinese envision using those islands for is a greatly ramped up anti-submarine warfare capability. We're being told by Senator John McCain that our Navy is being told not to go within 12 nautical miles of these islands, which seems effectively to be acknowledging their legitimacy and accommodating ourselves to them. Talk about those two aspects to this important development.
The islands will be part of a network of systems. They will help connect networks of systems that will extend China's physical control over the entire South China Sea. A Chinese general outlined this plan way back in 2009. He gave a speech to a Communist Party gathering. It was duly reported in the Chinese media, and now it's happening. He called for the construction of underwater sensors, a much larger Navy, airborne, unmanned aircraft sensors and space sensors, all linked, going through new island bases, and he specifically named one of them that's being built up now on Mischief Reef, very, very close to the Philippines. And this is the program, to integrate all of these sensors, run them through these new bases, festoon the bases with aircraft and missiles, and impose military control over these sea lanes, which account for well over half of annual global shipping.
An amazing amount of the gross domestic product of the world, let alone of ours. Rick, we have to leave it at that for the moment. This is an extraordinarily important story. I look forward to discussing with you developments in these various areas again very soon. In the meantime, keep up the terrific work that you do day in and day out at the International Assessment and Strategy Center and elsewhere, and come back to us soon. Next up, we will be talking with Bill Gertz, another close monitor of the Chinese buildup. And more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.